We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the 5th chapter, the 10th Mishnah. Bamidot Ba'adam. There are 4 types of people. The word Midah, we know, means a trait. And I think Rav Volba said that the word Midah, a trait, is called Midah from the word Mididah. Every trait has to be measured. So there are 4 types of people. Ha'omer Sheli, Sheli, V'Shelcha, Shelcha. Person says, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. I won't take your stuff, you don't take my stuff. Okay? Zo midah benonit. So that's a medium type of person, a mediocre attitude in life. V'yesh omrim zo midat sdom. And some say, no, that's an evil approach to life. To live in society and say, I keep what's mine, you keep what's yours, we have nothing to do with one another, so then people don't help one another. So that's not the way to lead a life. Okay. Sheli, shecha, v'shecha, sheli. It's a good question. Let's hear Rabbeinu Yonah. If a person says, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine, I'm aretz. That's an uneducated person. There cannot be a situation where you could take what's mine and I could take what's yours and there's no private property. That's also wrong. Sheli shelach v'shecha shelach. If a person says, what's yours is yours, I respect your property, but I give you permission to use what's mine, that's already a chassid. The previous case, he was a fool. What I own, I don't own, but what you own, you don't own either. That's not right. Why is that? I'll give you an example. There are people who are very good. They let everyone take from their stuff. But they're also good with other people's stuff. Right? So imagine you invite someone to your house, and you leave the room for a minute, and you find them in your fridge, raiding your fridge. I just met you. Right, but if you'd come to my house, I'd let you eat from my fridge. Yeah, but maybe that what you're eating now is for my Malava Malka. Maybe what you're eating now is, who said it works for me for you to eat that now, right? I'm Aretz. But I would give it to you, that doesn't mean you necessarily want to give it to me. So that's Nam Aretz. And you find people like that. They trample other people's belongings, and it's unintentional because they really would let other people take theirs. Yet the Mishnah says that's an Amaretz. When you have people who respect other people's belongings, but they're willing to give of their own freely, that's a chassid. Shelcha sheli v'sheli sheli, then you have people who they don't give a thing of their own, but they're readily willing to take other people's things, that's a rasha, the Mishnah says. Yes?
Yeah, but isn't it right to assume that everything belongs to God in the end? So it's like, I give my house, my life, it's not my life.
But it's birshuti, ha'aretz natan livnei adam. Says Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Hashem keeps control of the heaven. Va'aretz natan livnei adam, and He gave mankind control of earth. And there is private property, and there's supposed to be private property. So explains Rabbeinu Yonah, sheli sheli v'shecha shelcha. When a person says what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, eino nadiv lev. So he is not a giving person. V'hutov shesone matanot. At least what's good about him is that he's not asking other people for their things. He keeps his own, and he respects other people's possessions as well. V'kashe, what's difficult is, she'ech yom hu shezo midah benonit. How could Chazal say this is a mediocre approach to life? Alo amone atzmo militen tzedakah rasha gamur hu. When a person says, what's mine is mine, and leave me alone, so he's not giving charity, he's not giving tzedakah. What? That's an evil person. If you tell me, no, that's not mediocre, that's like the Sodomites, then it works fine, says Rabbeinu Yonah, as the Pasuk says, Hinezai Avon Sodom Achotech Ve'adani Ve'vyonoch Ziga. In Yecheskel it's described, the Navi in Yecheskel does not go to the lengths the Gemara in Sanhedrin goes. The Navi in Yecheskel describes that the sin of the people in Sodom was that they withheld their assistance from the poor. Their system was like our Mishnah describes. That's Pshat in the Pasuk in Yecheskel. So you have a good question. What the Mishnah is describing, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is a person whose nature is to be miserly. The person doesn't want to give a cent to anyone else. He doesn't care for anyone else. He says, let us all live in this planet. Everyone should just stick to themselves. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Yet, he's scared of God. So he gives a little bit of charity. But his attitude in life is an attitude that does not reflect this trait of the Torah. He performs the commandment. He gives his charity. He duly gives his charity. But it's not his attitude in life. And there Chazal said, you know what? That's a mediocre way to live, according to the first opinion. If he's at least performing the mitzvah correctly, so then why do we have to interfere with his nature? Even though he might have a problematic nature, but bottom line, this attitude in life is still a mediocre attitude in life. We won't call him a pious person, but at the end of the day, he's decent. He pays his dues, and he doesn't do more than that, but at least he pays his dues. Yeah?
Are we talking about internal attitude or attitude that the community sees?
I assume he means internal, but it doesn't say, so I'm not sure. V'yeshomrim, the second opinion says, kimidat sdomi, that's a wicked attitude, v'shoshor rameot. That you have to recognize what's at the root of such an attitude and why it's evil. Kivan shebetivo uchili, for a person to internally be so miserly, that's bad. And that's the second opinion. The second opinion says no. A person has to care for other people. It's not enough just to say I'm paying my dues. And my attitude in life is leave me alone. You have a problem, it's your problem. What's yours is yours, and what's mine is mine. I paid my dues, now don't ask me for more. I don't have to care about everyone else. So that, according to the second opinion, at the end of the day, this person is, in allowing this to remain his nature, is allowing himself to retain a certain evil element to his personality. But if a person is going to say, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, and he never gives charity, everyone would agree on that one, that's evil. What the Mishnah was discussing is a person who does give charity, yet nonetheless, his attitude is, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Sheli shecha v'shecha sheli. Second type of person. What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. We said that's an amar. He has no concept of ownership. On the one hand, we don't say he's a boor. We don't say he's an imbecile. We just say he's uneducated, because he's at least attempting to lead a productive life. He thinks that by developing communism, socialism, whichever attitude, but he's going to overcome the idea of private property for the sake of settling the world. This is the Mishnah that Rav Hirsch explains why communism will fail. Rav Hirsch has a piece here where Rav Hirsch says, and we have a similar piece by Rav Henkin Zatzal, that there has to be private property. You can own and give permission to others to use what's yours. But to think that everything can be communal won't work in the long term. So this person, says Rabbeinu Yonah, his intentions are good. The people who built the kibbutzim, they didn't mean to destroy a whole generation. They had good intentions. Their thought was that if you lead things communally, that'll be good. It's interesting that when a certain philosopher from Harvard came to talk to the Rebbe of Chabad, so the Rebbe of Chabad told him that Aristotle's attitude that kids should be brought up by the system is cruel. Meaning the guy was busy thinking about all kinds of aspects of philosophy, and the Rebbe of Chabad said to him, you're missing the point. When you think of developing a society where kids don't get the basic love of their parents, how will those kids learn to love other people? So the Rebbe of Chabad zoned in on the humanistic point of the philosophy. If we leave the humanistic point of the philosophy and just turn to the monetary side of the philosophy, so Rabbeinu Yonah says, on the one hand, you cannot call the person an imbecile. His attempts are to benefit society. He's making a mistake, but his goal is a positive one. He figures we'll build brotherly love. There'll be free love. Everyone will help everyone. Everyone will work for everyone. What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. There's no private property. Even though it stems from a good place. He's the opposite of the previous guy. He wants what's good for everyone. But at the end of the day, this isn't a wise way to develop the world. You really want to develop the world, you have to try to be self-sufficient. Our sages said, the attitude one should have in life is that one does not want gifts. One should feel a responsibility to cover their own needs. A person shouldn't think what's yours is mine. A person should think I have to take care of what I need, and then I also have to make what I have available to others, but not to live a life where a person thinks, I'll just get from other people. That's not right. So, the good trait is the next example in the Mishnah, when a person wants to give and not receive. When a person tries to be, on the one hand, take care of their own needs, but also to be able to give others. Yes?
There are theories out there that the most successful economically society is the one that everyone's selfish. Now, selfish doesn't necessarily mean only caring for yourself, but it seems to be like a similar concept over here. And it actually makes sense, because the more people care about themselves, and looking out to be self-sufficient, the more they'll build things up, and they'll try to.
I don't think this is about being selfish. I think it's self-sufficient.
Right, but I'm saying they call it selfish to contrast, I think, communism.
I don't know, the question here is the semantics, right? If you take Ayn Rand, so that's very dangerous, because that's selfish. If you read her books, which I don't recommend you do, you see that the successful businessman doesn't have emotion for his family. The way she portrays it, her own history, right? No comment.
Her husband, right, leaves her and goes, or was it, she leaves her, or something like that. You read what? What's the source?
Alice Short, right?
That's one of her books.
A million pages.
Yeah, it's a three one.
But the philosophy she's developing is selfish. You can't say it's self-sufficient.
The story that, the way that Madhouse tests itself in the story is not necessarily the way that human behavior works.
Those who went in her way, and I've seen people who tried to adopt her philosophy, were really selfish, the same way she describes it. There was a brilliant young lady who was a big fan of hers, and she was capable of calling people at 2-3 in the morning, and it didn't interest her because she had a need. And working with Ayn Rand's philosophy, so the way to succeed, she was a very big fan. And she was very successful. She went up in the ranks, and she was basically on the Supreme Court. She was on her way up there. And then Baruch Hashem, she got married. And Baruch Hashem, she had kids. And kids force you, if you want to bring them up well, if you're a half-decent human being, then they force you to be a giving person. And all her philosophy went out the window. And she through that, she learned to be a decent human being. But until she reached that point in her life, she was one of the most selfish people I ever met. Think what it means to call people at 2-3 in the morning because you have a question, and why should you wait till the morning? Because you want to finish your paper right now, right? So they'll wake up at 2-3 in the morning. They'll answer me. They'll go back to sleep. Or they won't. Why does it matter? I have to succeed.
But you're just a very self-centered person in general.
But it was a philosophy she developed. That's what I'm saying. I'm giving you one example, but I'm saying Ayn Rand works with the philosophy that the success of the world will stem from the success of successful people. And successful people can trample on other people because other people are only getting in their way. And other people are stepping stones. And we don't look at it that way.
Which in theory, in the long term, that's true. But it's not nice.
I don't think it's true. I think that we have to see the value in every human being. And we cannot approach life as I'll trample others in order to get there. And I think the greatest example of that is Moshe Rabbeinu. When Hashem asks him to lead the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, he spends 7 days trying to ensure he's not trampling on his brother Aaron. Excuse me, Moshe, the Jewish people need you. You're saving all of humanity. It's a pretty noble task. Who cares about Aaron? This is a recurring theme in Torah. That Hashem created a world where we're not supposed to get to good places in bad ways.
Successful doesn't necessarily... I'm saying the way she defines success is different.
Chassid. When a person says, what's mine is yours, yet what's yours is also yours, that's considered pious. Sheyatza min haktzavot emtzayim, v'yigeat katzeh acharon, v'midat havatranut, v'sinat hamatanot, v'rotzeh sheyiten v'lo yitnu lo. So he has gone to the extreme. He's a person who is willing to forgo. He's interested in giving gifts, yet not receiving them. Midotav lifnim mishurat adin. He goes beyond the call of duty. Val zenikar chassid. And that's why he's called pious. Kedamrin b'chol Talmud amidat chassidut sheinok. And throughout the Talmud describes that midat chassidut, leading a pious life, is beyond the call of duty. The final example, a person who says, Shelcha sheli, what's yours is mine, but sheli sheli, and mine is mine, rasha, yira ad hakatzeh acharon, leroa hegia la'aretz v'shachat. When a person goes to the opposite extreme, then a person becomes destructive. A person has to know that at the opposite extreme, what the Mishnah calls evil, is destructive. When a person is very intent on holding on to their own, and is also very focused on taking away from others, that's what the Mishnah calls a rasha. It is destructive to everyone.
What's the normal way to be?
That's the person who respects others and is happy to give them. But
that's going beyond the call.
I didn't say that he says everything that's mine is yours. That's the chassid. The chassid, you know, Rabbi Machlis, his living room is any person's living room. His food on Shabbos is everyone's food on Shabbos. That's chassid. But then you have an average person who says, my food is mine, your food is yours, and when it works for me, I'll invite you for a Shabbos meal. So that's a decent human being. I'm saying he's not always making his living room available to everyone. He's finding the times that work to him. Avraham Avinu has four doorways to his house, and you're always invited. That's chassid. Most of us are not saying, my door is always open. We're saying, you want to come, we'll set up the time, it works for me, I'm happy to have you over. So that's not a chassid. That's the normal person. Sometimes I give...